Hey, this is Brandon, and I'm not a puppet.
And this is Adam, and I swear I'm a real boy.
Oh, that was a pretty good one, yeah.
Thank you.
Like Pinocchio.
A little reference.
This week, we watched Annette.
Is that what it was called?
Yes, that's the movie that we just watched with our eyeballs. And
our ear holes.
We listened with our ear holes. It is on Amazon Prime.
Video.
Amazon. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For letting everyone know where to watch it. I mean, that is very important. It's starring Adam Driver.
Adam. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. And Simon Helberg is also in it. And so is Mary. I can't even pronounce her name, but it's Marion. She's in Inception as well. That's why I know her from.
That's where I know her from as well.
She's the female lead character. So, I'm about to give a spoilers ahead breakdown of the movie if you have not seen it.
If you do want to see it, pause the podcast and go watch it. Just a heads up, a little language, some nudity in the brief form, but still nudity.
You get to see Adam Driver's butt, so.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. That's a get to.
You get to.
Yeah, you get to. If that's not worth 5 stars, I don't know what is, you know?
All right, well, Brandon, how about you just tell
us
about the movie?
Yeah, just playing around. Here we go. We're about to give a spoilers breakdown. Here it is. Oh, what a weird, strange podcast we host. Yes, this is Annette. Annette is about a comedian and an opera singer who end up falling in love. The comedian's career ends up tanking a little bit as the opera singer's ends up skyrocketing and she becomes very famous. They end up having a baby, and the baby's name is Annette. After a boat ride, and the opera singer ends up dying. And we come to find out it was by Henry, the comedian's hand. Annette is now gifted by Anne, who is dead, the gift of a voice, basically by singing. And so we follow Adam Driver's character, Henry, the comedian, as he exploits Annette's gift to be able to tour worldwide and make a lot of money. We are shown this in a very unique way. It feels very like a theater playwright experience, and we follow Adam Driver to his demise, and that's basically the movie.
That's it.
You're here listening to Thoughts the Question Mark. Thoughts the Question
Podcast.
Movies.
Brandon. And Adam.
In our living room.
Hi.
Hi, Brandon.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hey, we watched a movie.
We did that.
We watched a movie. Yeah.
We actually just did that.
So, just to preface, this movie is 2 hours and 20 minutes, and we did not know it was that long when we started it, and I audibly heard a very large sigh in the middle of the movie, and then a very clear checking of the time, which made me laugh so hard, because it is a slower movie, and I totally understand it, but it was very funny. So, just so you know, obviously, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming that you've watched it.
You made it past the theme song.
It's one of those, you've also made it past the theme song, but it's one of those movies that you kind of have to watch if you're going to try to follow along with what we're talking about. So, anyways, so this movie was very long, and it is a little slow. It is a little slower on the slower side. So, Adam, let's just hear it. I just want to hear, like, what is happening inside your brain pot.
My brain... Are you looking to make merch brain pot?
I don't know.
Yes, it was a movie.
Uh-huh.
I can understand how someone would greatly enjoy this film.
Okay, yeah.
I am not that person.
Okay.
I can appreciate certain things that they did and were trying to do throughout the movie. And I liked parts. Like, I liked the general story. I just wasn't a huge fan of the musical-esque take that they took at it.
Yeah, because this movie is very musically driven.
Yes. I wouldn't call it a musical in the traditional sense.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there is a type of musical that this probably falls under. But it's not a musical as you, like, think of when you think of, like, Hamilton or La La Land.
No. Yeah, definitely not.
So it wasn't really my cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm never going to go and just turn on this music or the score or something and listen to it on my free time.
No.
I don't think that's what the movie was striving for.
Yeah, so I don't want to say that it was bad because I think it was well constructed and the story flows and it makes sense. And I could see that someone would enjoy it. But it's made for a very specific person. Who that person is, I'm not 100% sure.
Adam's like, I don't think they exist. Well, but you know.
I don't want to call it bad because I see that it's not poorly made. Like, it's
artful. It's an art house piece. It's an indie, underground, experimental film that... decides to take different creative approaches that don't fit the masses at all.
Yeah.
I think... Okay, so...
Hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
I want to hear your initial thoughts.
Sure. Yeah, I can kind of get into it. So, I actually really liked it. The issue is with me. I really actually did like it. I'm never going to watch it again. Mm-hmm. So, for me, there's a few movies that are on my list of... I think that they're very good, but I'll only watch one time, and this definitely fits the bill. This movie felt like it was supposed to emulate like a theater experience.
I felt that.
With the baby as the doll and the backdrops and the set pieces and the interactive characters and the music cues and all of the singing, and there is a lot of things that it was supposed to feel like this was maybe just a bigger and larger than life theater experience, which I actually really love that approach. Like, I think that's such a unique idea. Is this the best version of the story it could have been? I don't know. But you know what? It was a version. And
yeah.
I think it was, like, if somebody were to... I don't know. If we weren't watching this for the podcast, I probably would have never watched it.
Yeah, that's one thing about when we paused it, when I thought there was an insect on my leg. Oh, yeah,
Adam, we had this incident where we were quietly watching the movie, and then there was this violent disruption that happened on the couch, and I paused it, and Adam very intentionally thought there was a bug crawling on his leg, but yes. We never found the bug.
It felt like such a large bug, but we could not find it.
Yeah, so I was like, "What? Wait, hey, what's up?" You're like, "There's a bug! There's a bug! I don't know where it went, but there's a bug!" And so...
It's not the first time this has happened. I may be going crazy.
Yeah, Adam did bruise his leg one time.
Flailing out of bed.
Thinking there was a bug.
Anyway, it was around that time
that
I was like, if I was watching this alone, this would be turned off.
Me too. So, like, this is not a movie that I would ever want to sit down and be like, oh, I gotta watch this style of movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I am more of like... This is kind of a dumb example, but like if Jurassic Park was on, I'd be like, and I'd never seen it before, I'd be like, mm-hmm. I want to watch that.
Yeah.
That's the type of movie I want to watch. I don't know. Like, I can get behind the art house movies, and there's quite a few actually that I really do love. And another one of those movies is I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore, and that's Charlie Kaufman's movie.
Yeah, we watched that one on Netflix before we started this podcast. That would have been an interesting one to talk about.
And this kind of feels, if somebody told me that Charlie Kaufman or David Lynch directed this, I'd be like, yeah, sure. I don't personally love, I mean, okay, don't get me wrong. I love Synecdoche, New York. Like, that movie is amazing. And that's a Charlie Kaufman directed movie. But some of his other movies are very art housey. Actually, Anomalies is pretty good. Okay, I digress. Some of their movies are really out there, mm-hmm. and they don't really expect you to follow the story exactly as they're telling it, and that's okay. I just personally, this isn't like what I would love to just sit down and just watch on like an evening by myself.
This movie kind of falls into a weird category that it's not too abstract that you don't understand it.
Yeah.
There's definitely some aspects that we'll definitely talk about. But personally, I felt like it was pretty, like I could follow it fairly well. Where like, I don't feel at home in this world anymore. And those types of art house are more abstract and you're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Where this one I felt was definitely some things up for interpretation, but it was fairly literal.
It was,
In a sense.
It was.
So it did rely heavily on its form. That's why it's going to be judged for that.
Its form. Else. And like, there was a lot of moments where I was like, what are we watching? Like, I had a moment where I had to, like, try to figure out everything and be like, is this supposed to be symbolism for something that's to come? Is this something that's about to happen? Or is this something about his character? Like, I was trying to dissect it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it does deserve some of that because there is a level of interpretation with some of the things that it does with the movie. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's the form. It's how the story is being told. It's the music and how they're singing most of the dialogue. And it just feels like a big theater experience. Yeah. And even at the very beginning, we have that guy that he's got the voiceover and he's like, you can't sneeze or breathe or
foof.
Yeah. Or foof. Which is Adam's censored word for fart. And
come on, I'm going to have to bleep that.
What if you just bleep it out and it sounds like the F word? Okay. Anyways. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. It's, I think this was supposed to emulate theater. The biggest example that I could think of is the boat scene.
Yeah.
Where it's very clear, like a big set piece and there's water splashing. Which is actually super cool. Like, I really loved that. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
But, yes. Yeah. So, it did feel like a theater
piece. Yes.
But I don't know... Again, I'm not well-versed enough in theater to call it bad theater. But I can compare it to theater that I know.
Sure.
And where everything's sung, but it's all in, like, a conversation. It's not just singing... just talking in a tone.
Yeah.
Which this was. Which I guess that was what I really didn't care for. I think I wrote down... Let me get my handy dandy notebook out. I wrote down, like, I didn't like that they just, like, kept singing the lines over. Like, as it happened, when they were singing, like, we love each other so much. I didn't like it at first. And then I realized that, oh, they're trying to convince themselves that they do love each other very much. Is how I interpreted it.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
It felt like they were trying to convince themselves. And I'm like, okay, now I guess that it was over and over again. But they did that a lot throughout the movie.
I actually didn't take it as that they were trying to convince each other. I took it as they were infatuated with each other. And so that's why it was consistently being sung.
Mm. I think just right after, she said, he's a stranger. I don't know him.
Oh, yeah.
And so I took that. Like that she started singing soon thereafter as like we were infatuated but like not 100% sure, but like, you know what, I love him so much, I'm gonna just keep singing it until I believe it, is how I kind of interpreted that.
Yeah,
so I guess there is more up for interpretation than I thought.
I mean, yeah, I didn't interpret it that way, and that is great.
I think what would be cool is if we kind of just, like we did with our couple episodes, Green Knight, we just kind of walk through.
Yeah, we walk through the movie. The movie, yeah, that'd be great.
Because I think there's a lot, maybe as we go, to unpack.
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's start at the intro, the opening scene.
Yeah, we got our opening number, which is actually a one take, and it's very cool.
Yeah, I was very confused by it.
Yeah, we both were, and just to preface, we were both actually very confused because we actually had no context for what this movie was, yeah. And we were like, what do we get ourselves into?
Yeah.
Which was great, because honestly, that experience kind of feels like a film festival to me, mm-hmm. where it's like, you just have the title, you don't know what it's about at all, and yeah. you just kind of walk in and just hope for the best, and uh-huh. that's how this felt, which was great.
Yeah.
So, we had our opening number, which was a singing number.
Right. And I was really confused by it at first, but then afterwards, once we're on the stage,
uh-huh.
and we find out he's a comedian,
yeah.
it really felt like an opening scene to a comedy special. And that's kind of how I interpret
the opening number.
The opening number. Because we start in the recording studio with his backup singers.
Yeah.
Who end up on stage.
Yeah.
And so it kind of felt like, you know how like in comedy specials, they'll have a guy walking down the street.
Yep. Yeah.
And like, he'll be like, hey, what's up? And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It'll be like rolling the credits at the beginning of the comedy special. It kind of felt like that. I mean, I don't know exactly what the intention was, but that's kind of how I, like, it's the opening number for the show, but it's also like similar to what a comedy special would be like.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. I think for me, like, it felt like the comedy special when he's backstage and he's eating the banana and he's smoking a cigarette and he's
yeah.
doing his little, like, hood, you know, shadow boxing type thing.
Yeah.
That's what that felt like for me. The opening number actually felt like they were getting ready for the show to start, and they were all like prepping their instruments and like getting ready for the movie, like getting ready to like show the movie. Cause like when they're leaving after they have the opening number and they're leaving, they all get in their different vehicles and they all go their separate ways and they're mm-hmm. like, bye, good luck, bye. And then they go give each of their three little performances, right?
Yeah.
We've got Adam Driver as the comedian, and then we've got his wife, Anne, who is the opera singer, and then we get Simon Helberg as the conductor.
Or, at that point, the accompaniment.
He's the accompaniment, yeah, and then he ends up becoming the conductor, but...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Okay, super interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I mean, just kind of different ways to see
yes.
it. I think that number is very separate from the entire movie, so it is kind of open to however you want to interpret it.
It is a bit more whimsical as far as, like, them singing to the camera and, performance-based goes. And then we get Adam Driver's big opening comedy show,
mm-hmm.
which is very strange.
Yeah.
It's, like, half funny, half not, half introspective. And we turn to each other and we're like, oh, this feels like a Bo Burnham special.
Yeah.
But, like, we come to find out this is more like an evil Bo Burnham.
Yeah.
And
he's in the darkest timeline.
Yeah. He's, like, a lot darker and a lot more intense with the realism behind mm-hmm. the character instead of more of the jokes.
It was very weird, and we get the interaction of him with his audience singing back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And through the movie, as we progress through... I think I wrote this down during his second comedy special.
Okay.
That he, or his second comedy performance
can't wait to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. What I interpreted the audience interaction with was everything that they say is him talking to himself.
Yeah.
And so we kind of see the dark side of his brain.
Yeah.
On the audience singing praises and then also...
The negative.
The negative.
Yeah.
And that whole interaction is all an internal thing, because if you take that out, everything that he says on stage still kind of makes sense.
Totally.
And so it was very early on that when you realize that this is going to be a tragedy. Like,
yeah.
Regardless of if someone dies or not, this is a tragedy.
Yeah.
In the sense that he's a very troubled individual.
Yeah, definitely. And I felt like it was a nod to like how comedians are viewed, and also like how comedians like view their audiences as mm-hmm. well. And you know, as you dive into like more of Bo Burnham stuff, it's very introspective when it comes to like, I'm supposed to be making you laugh, but at the same time, I'm like putting on a facade for how I'm really feeling. And so I felt like it was kind of a nod to that whole thing, which is super interesting. But yeah, I think it is more of how he's actually feeling rather than how the audience is feeling about him.
Yeah. Get that when like he's singing about him killing his wife and like,
yeah,
oh, I killed my wife. And everyone's in the audience is like super quiet, but like he, I'm jumping ahead. Sorry.
No problem. I just have to say that my jaw was dropped during that performance with Adam Driver because it is unbelievable. It's so good. It's so good.
As I said, I didn't like the movie as a whole, but there were definitely some highlights. And I mean,
I was like, in that scene. So as I was talking about theater, this whole movie feels like a nod to acting. Because there's a few moments in here where I was like, wow, like, this is amazing. And his second comedy show is definitely one of them, where he talks about how he kills his wife and how he tickles her. And, like, honestly, I was, like, floored. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Adam Driver is amazing. I love him. I'm such an Adam Driver fan.
It's the second Adam Driver movie we watched on this podcast.
Oh, we watched Patterson. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love Mr. Driver. I was just, I was eating that up. It was so good.
Let's bounce back so they're in love.
He's doing his show. So we've got him and his comedy thing, right? And then we've got her, and she's obviously an opera singer. That's kind of all we get from her. But we know that she's very beloved, very successful. And then we've got their relationship. So in the beginning, they've got the whole song that they talk about, we love each other so much, and that's kind of repeated over and over, and that's the song that they sing like back and forth to each other. We get some scenes and
sex scenes.
Yes, honestly, the most nude but unnude.
A lot of skin, but no privacy.
Technically, technical nudity. yes, and so that was interesting. The tickling scene where he comes out and he's like, he's got his hood on and he comes out and he's like, it's time for tickling. And then I was like, I almost like was shocked, but I was like, this is so weird, but I'm so here for it. And like, what was really interesting is like, I actually really loved their relationship together. Like, I thought they had a lot of chemistry.
They did. I was also of the mindset that they were convincing each other that they had, like, you think of famous celebrity relationships and it always looks like they have chemistry on the surface.
Things aren't
really that great behind the scenes, and I feel like we might not have seen everything because we do get that that dream sequence possibly, or a flashback, I'm not really sure, of when she's in the car and she has the panel of the six women coming out saying that he was abusive.
Yes.
So we don't necessarily know that everything that was going on. It felt, for me, more like a toxic Hollywood relationship.
I could definitely see that, and especially because he kind of spirals because he kind of becomes an alcoholic, and he ends up killing her on the ship. But, I mean, I am jumping ahead, but I think because of his second show that we see, his career spirals, and then he's got jealousy towards her because she becomes so famous.
Right. Let's talk about the namesake of the movie for a little bit.
Annette.
Yeah. So after they make love, she gets prego.
She gets pregnant. Yep.
She has
a puppet.
Puppet. Yeah. So, I mean, just to talk about the puppet of it all.
Yeah.
The first shot that we get of the puppet is a clown face on said puppet.
Yes.
And what it kind of instilled in me is that this is how he sees his daughter, as a prop. he sees his daughter as comedy material.
As a performance tool.
As a performance tool, yes. Exactly. So he's not doing well in his business,
yeah,
or in his comedy. At this point, he's not planning to use her as the singing tool because she's an infant and can't sing yet.
Yeah.
But even if it's just material for stage stuff, he like has more material for his comedy special.
Yeah, and so, we also get a shot of a gorilla holding her.
Right.
As the pup, or the baby, as Annette, as the baby.
Because his stage performance is Ape of God.
Oh. That
was the name you're of his right. comedy
yes.
special.
Yeah. Yes, you're right, yeah.
Which later on harkens back to when the police deem her death an act of God.
Mm, yes.
Act of God, Ape of God.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. And she also has a monkey puppet
yes.
throughout the whole thing, which is, or not, I guess it's not a puppet.
It's a
right?
stuffed animal.
It's a stuffed animal. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. It's a monkey stuffed animal. If we're really getting into symbolism, mm-hmm. it like goes to the beginning of like the monkey holding her and then her holding the monkey. And then so basically flipping him on mm-hmm. as he's guiding her as into her mm. and her success is now guiding him.
That's, interesting.
That's a little deep, but basically, yeah, we do get the monkey, and I also interpreted that as like basically he has no idea what he's doing.
He has no interest in having a baby.
Yeah, there's that too.
He's just kind of taking the punches, and he can use this baby.
Yeah, and also as we get more into the theater experience, the puppet feels like something that would actually be used on stage. Mm-hmm. Rather than a child, like a very newborn child,
for sure,
because you know you can't really just have a newborn just hanging out on a stage like that.
They don't sing that great either.
No, so I thought it was a very unique and very bold decision to use the puppet, and I think that's something that somebody's like, if they've watched this movie, they're gonna take away from that and being like, oh, that's the movie with the kid as the puppet.
You and know? Not in an American Sniper sense.
No. Or Twilight.
I've never seen Twilight.
Oh, Twilight has the worst CGI baby you've ever seen in your okay. life. Yeah, it's great.
American Sniper has the worst doll baby.
It does, yeah. American Sniper does, yeah. Yeah, there's quite a few movies that have really bad babies, but
yeah.
this one is done tastefully.
It's done intentionally.
Intentionally. I mean, yeah. And it's I still feel like it is tasteful because it does still serve the purpose of the story in a very different way.
It was done for a reason, and that yeah. I mean that comes back to the intentionality behind it all.
Yeah.
The other movies that have bad babies, it's cost-cutting measures that the baby's bad, and it's not
yeah.
an intentional story element. Because we yeah. do get our real Annette later on, but again, hopping forward, going back.
Yeah, so basically, we get Annette, and then he ends up killing Anne.
On the boat.
On the boat, because he's a little too drunk, and she falls overboard. And whether or not it was a purposeful act by him, I think it was half on purpose, half he was maybe drunk and out of control.
We do get a sense that he loses his temper.
Yes.
And he can be abusive based on the other ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not inconceivable to draw the conclusion that he pushed her. We do get some, it's rocking back and forth, and we don't yeah. exactly know the position, the perspective
yeah.
That we're seeing everything from. So I don't know if we actually see him shove. It kind of looks like he just kind of like pushes her away and then she leaves the frame.
Yeah. I think it was just implied that it was like a messy accident, but like a little too far gone, yeah. you know?
Accidentally on purpose.
Yeah. And so the boat crashes or sinks and they're fleeing on a rowboat and they get to an island. And this is kind of where the movie takes this this turn that we were kind of waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that Annette has this ability to sing mm-hmm. as a child, as like a 1 or 2 year old. And
so yeah, at first we don't know that she sings yet. We do know that Anne comes back and says,
yes,
I'm going to haunt you with her.
With her, yes.
And then we get Henry bringing Annette the lamp from the toy shop. And when
well, that's where he learns it, because he, like, is saying on the island, he's uh-huh. like, oh, is my daughter singing? This just must be my imagination.
Oh, okay.
And then we end up finding out, yeah, that on... with the lamp that mm-hmm. Adam Driver's character ends up finding out that she's got this amazing voice and I'm assuming is being haunted by Anne because mm-hmm. she has this amazing opera voice as well. This is where, honestly, so I love Adam Driver's character, but I also love Simon Helberg's character too, yeah. the conductor, because he had this love for Anne and he let it go away and then she ends up dying and he's got speculations about what actually happened. We might have found out that he was actually the father of Annette, and I think it sounded like he was, mm-hmm. and so...
There's at least a possibility that Henry couldn't accept even being a possibility.
Yes.
With the accompanist slash conductor,
mm-hmm.
we don't actually see all that much of him in the first half of the movie.
He's kind of a side character, and we do get a little section with him that he has this love for Anne in the very beginning when he's playing the piano, but mm-hmm. And he has this dream of being a conductor, and then mm-hmm. we've got that scene with him where he's like, I'm now a conductor, and that honestly was one of also my favorite scenes. He's mm-hmm. like, he's crying and he's emotional and he's conducting, and it's like the camera spinning around him, and
he's just like, hold on 1 second.
He also pauses. He's like, 1 second, and then he goes really deep into it. And yeah, that was also,
I think that was my favorite scene in yeah. the movie. Yeah,
that scene was awesome. I think that, like, again, like, I think that just goes back to the whole theater experience of mm-hmm. like the some of the acting moments were very over the top.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of feels like, you know, like the underground theater experience that you would find in like a New York, like, basement type thing where,
okay.
where all your friends
kind of, yeah,
yeah, off Broadway, where all your friends get dragged to and they don't really want to be there, but they're listening to some introspective like theater performance that somebody's put on.
Yeah. Like a one man show that cares about. But
this,
yeah.
this kind of feels like one of those.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see that.
We come to go through Annette's experience of becoming this world-renowned
superstar, yeah,
kid that can sing.
Yeah, with the help of the now conductor
mm-hmm.
And Adam Driver's character, Henry. They take her on a worldwide tour.
Yeah.
And she becomes a hit, and everyone makes a lot of money.
Yeah, we see that very clearly with Adam's character.
Yeah, he's having fun
mm-hmm.
all around the world now that he doesn't have a wife. And then we get the conflict between Henry and the conductor
yep.
outside.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we find out that maybe Annette is actually Simon Helberg's daughter and not Adam Driver's. And
because they were together a week before.
Yes.
And met Henry, and as Hollywood goes, everything moves super fast.
Yep.
So it's not inconceivable that Annette happened, like, was conceived yeah. soon after
yeah.
Anne and Henry met each other.
Yeah, and then we've got the confrontation between their characters outside by the pool. Mm-hmm. Adam Driver is a little intoxicated, and he ends up pretty heavily, violently killing...
Murdering.
Yeah, murdering Simon's character. And that was kind of like a oh shoot moment for me.
Uh-huh.
There was some very cool cinematic moments in that I really enjoyed.
That was a very well choreographed scene.
It was very cool.
I was very impressed by that. That it felt very real. You know, it's choreographed, but like it didn't feel that way. Like, totally. It felt like Adam Driver.
It felt messy. Yeah. It felt messy. It felt very method. It felt very, like, let's just do this for real and see how it goes, you know? Yeah, I really, really loved
that. Turns out Simon did actually die.
He died, Oh, gosh, no. I hope not. I want to see more of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so basically, and also... Adam Driver is a beast and is just able just to pick him up out of the water.
He's so much taller than Simon is.
Yeah. He's a monster.
Well, I think Adam Driver's tall and I think Simon's short. So
he is a little short,
No shade, Simon.
I'm short, so that makes
But then we get a little zoom on the window. I don't think we saw anything in the window, but we later find out that Annette was watching.
Yeah, she either heard or watched or something, and she does know that he ended up killing him. So
we get the last performance since the conductor's dead. Adam Driver's character is like, okay, one last performance, and then it's the Super Bowl, and Annette ends up not wanting to sing anymore because she knows what her father has done, and she tells the world, and everything unfolds.
And then Adam Driver goes to jail, and we get this very, like, touching, heartfelt last number where Annette's character goes from the puppet to being a real-life girl. And
she's a real girl.
This was the other scene, which I'm very happy it was the last scene. This was...
because it was over?
No. I meant like it ended on a good note. That's what I meant.
I was happy because it was over.
Okay, all right. So Annette's character becomes real, and there's this very emotional last song that is sung between them, and the girl's performance is amazing.
Incredible.
Adam Driver's performance is great. It's super heartfelt. And the big question that he keeps asking, or that she actually keeps saying, you have nobody left to love. And he says, why can't I love you? And she's like, you can't really. And there's this, that very emotional number, which was really, really, really good. That was some acting
and performances she's for sure. She became real because he's in jail and she's finally like a real person.
She's not a puppet anymore. He can't manipulate her anymore. Yeah. So, she kind of becomes her own. So, which was a very unique perspective change. And the way that they did that, I think it's a bold move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the movie in its entirety, I do enjoy the beats. I enjoy the story of it all, but it was just...
It's hard to watch.
Unbearable.
Yeah. No, so it's like, it's absurd. It's absurdist. It's hard to watch, and I totally understand that. And that's why, like, for me, I'd only watch it one time. I love to watch these types of movies because of the acting performances, because of the story told in a very absurd way, because of the very unique, original, creative decisions to tell the story in a different way than I've ever seen it before. And I think this has that. It has a lot of like hidden themes and motifs that I still probably haven't picked up on. Even Adam Driver in jail, as he like swipes past the camera and he looks at the camera and he says, stop watching me. Like that is just like, there's so much more meaning behind these little moments than I would ever probably pick up on. And I really love that. It's an art house movie, not made for the masses. And that kind of gets me into that, the music note that I had. Music is all very in a minor key. It's very like dark. It's very suspenseful. It's very unique in that perspective. And I think that's just kind of like a play on other musicals that are very like in a major key. There's a very upbeat like Hamilton or In the Heights or The Greatest Showman or like any of the Disney movies that you hear. They're all these uplifting notes. And I think this one was in a minor key just to like show... I mean, Adam Driver doesn't even... He barely smiles in this whole movie. It's a very serious-toned movie, and I think that the reason that they did it in the way that they did it was to not only show the acting moments and the performances, but to show there can be a darker, like, more negative tone to a musical than everything being light and candy and happiness and rainbows and joy.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Brandon.
Yes.
It's come to that time.
I already know.
I'm not even going to ask the question. Everyone who listens to this podcast already knows the question.
Yeah. I would not personally recommend this movie to just about anybody. It would have to be a very specific audience. It also would have to be a very specific person that, like, enjoys certain art house movies. If they talked about any David Ayer or, like, Charlie Kaufman or Darren Aronofsky, like, I would maybe recommend this as, like, a... If they were really into those movies, most of the people that I know just kind of like them, and they're not, like, super deep in there.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I'd recommend them to see it. But I think this is technically a good movie to watch if you are somebody who enjoys art house movies, because it has a very unique perspective on the way that a story is told. And I think there are some really cool acting moments in it. And I think there are some very cool set pieces, very cool, like, cinematography things that they do. It's an art movie, and you got to appreciate it as it is. So,
yep, definitely can appreciate some elements to it. I just would not recommend this to anyone.
Okay.
I see the caveats that you have, but I personally will probably not log this one away in a recommendation list anywhere.
Sure.
Yeah. So this one will only be remembered on the podcast.
All right. Well, there you go. There you have it, everybody. Adam.
Yes.
Why don't you let everybody know what's going on?
All right. I'm ready for this.
Give us a two sentence.
I get two sentences.
You get two sentences this time. Yeah.
I do run on sentences. All right, guys. I've got the perfect website for you. It's called thoughtsthepodcast.com.
You had to say it one time.
What? So thoughtsthepodcast.com is a place online. That's thoughtsthepodcast.com. All one word. And you can fill out a form. You can tell us what to watch next. You can tell us what you love about the podcast, what you hate about the podcast. If we do something that you absolutely hate,
yeah,
tell us about it. The form's awesome, but the number one reason to use thoughtsthepodcast.com is that since we are a lesser known podcast.
Really?
Surprisingly still, if you type in thoughts into your podcast browser, our podcast doesn't show up. So you need to send thoughtsthepodcast.com to your friends, and then they can go onto it and find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts.
Yes.
So send thoughts to podcast. But as more people listen, we'll show up higher in the results.
We will, yeah.
So thoughtsapodcast.com, they'll get the link, watch it or listen to it on Spotify, and then we'll show up in the results.
Or sooner. Apple Podcasts.
Or Apple Podcasts.
Do you think we're sponsored by thoughtsthepodcast.com for how many times that you say thoughtsthepodcast.com?
We pay for thoughtsthepodcast.com. So
maybe that's why we say it so much. Yeah.
We paid for it, yep. So we want to get use out of it.
Honestly, if you guys could send this to your friends, or if you want to rate it on Apple Podcasts, that super helps us out and just get more exposure for the show.
Yes.
Also, yeah, again, if there's any movies that are actually coming up that you want us to talk about and, you know, go through and dissect, let us know.
Give us a couple weeks heads up for movies. So if, like, there's something coming out in October or November that you know about, recommend it. These next couple weeks are usually planned out. So give us a little heads up.
And I think tell us once what you a want quarter, we should do, like, a little retro, like, movie that we both haven't seen.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Maybe throw that guy in for some of the old school people.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah. Maybe once a quarter.
We'll find a big movie.
A big movie that we both haven't seen.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a couple of them.
And we can talk about them.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right, guys.
I love you.